what we do here at 10:30 is called the Little Big Time, and that's where I and usually Jeff Goodman, but Jeff is kind of late getting to the station tonight, and I totally understand. See, Jeff is, I wouldn't say perpetually late, but he's late pretty often, just because, you know, he's Jeff, that's just him. But tonight, I amazingly totally understand, because during, like, the previous hours that I've been here and doing stuff at the radio station, I was constantly checking Yahoo, because we don't have a TV set here. And I'm not a New York Giants football fan. I'm a Jet fan going way back. My dad's a Jet fan, and so he passed that gene down to me, and I've been a Jet fan since, oh, I don't know, the 1970s. But, you know, as you get older, in most cases, you start to root for the home team. I mean, it isn't so cut and dry in this particular case, like, love the Mets, hate the Yankees, like it used to be, or something like that, or root for the Knicks and don't care about the Nets. With this, okay, you know, love the Jets, even if they have a bad year, but in this case, the Giants really, really showing some moxie and won't back down and won't die down, and what do you know? If you haven't heard the news, ladies and gentlemen, the playoff game tonight in Green Bay went into overtime. It was tied 20-20. And then the Giants kicked off to Green Bay. Green Bay fumbled. Giants got a field goal, and they won the game. The New York Giants are going to the Super Bowl. If you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, Giants in the Super Bowl 2 Sundays from now. And the only bad news, aside from the fact that they missed a couple of field goals that would have ended the game in the fourth quarter without having to even go into, overtime, into extra minutes, was the bad news is that, as expected, no surprise, who are they going to meet in the Super Bowl? New England. Because New England has been kind of the team of destiny all season long. It just hasn't stopped for them. You know, they went 16-0 during the regular season, and they've won all their playoff games. They won in San Diego earlier today. So it's going to be the New York Giants versus Green Bay on Super Bowl Sunday. Who would have thunk it? I think it's kind of cool, because you've got the one team that's like the most likely to succeed from the fourth or fifth week on. New England was like the team to beat, the team of destiny. By the time they had won 8 straight games, only halfway through the season, people were already starting to write, are they unstoppable? Is this the team of destiny? Is this team going to be part of a legacy? Or what do they call when a team wins 3 or 4 Super Bowls in a row? I'm blanking on the word, but you know what I'm talking about. Is this going to be a dominant force for the decade kind of thing? Well, granted, the writers were right, at least for this season. You know, they went 8-0, and then 9-0, and 10-0, and 11-0, and then ultimately 16-0, and now I guess they're 18-0, and they got one more game to go. And the only thing standing between the New England Patriots and the Super Bowl trophy are a little club that went 10-6 during the regular season, that had ups and downs. They started down, and then were almost counted out, and then got better, and got a lot better, and then kind of stumbled a little bit, and then got better again, and then won a couple of playoff games, and here we are. Giants, Patriots, Super Bowl Sunday, 2 weeks from now. Oh boy, oh boy. And, you know, I shouldn't be this excited, because I'm not even a Giant fan, but, you know, you gotta, it's a little vicarious thing. The weather's so cold out, and it's been gray, and it's the middle of January, and the New Year has palled. We don't feel like that Happy New Year mood anymore. It's just winter. And so when you get something to be really happy about and rejoice about, well, why not? And I'm looking forward to talking to my co-host on The Little Big Time, Jeff Goodman, when he gets here, because he was watching the game. I didn't get to see the game. I just watched, you know, this Yahoo 30-second update thing. So you go click, and you wait for it to refresh the screen, and they tell you one more play that happened. That's the only thing, though, about football. Aside from the fact that they're playing a game that could very well be played in the middle of the afternoon, but because they want ratings on TV during prime time, they started at 6:30. And the damn thing goes till nearly 10:30. Now, granted, I realize that There was, you know, it went into overtime. Fine. But still, the thing was still in the fourth quarter when it was about 3 hours and 45 minutes old. And it's just, how much longer can they make the games? I have no idea. Phil Mushnick has a column in today's New York Post about the fact that they're taking an important playoff game that could easily be played. It's a Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Sunday in the middle of winter, and they're playing in a hellhole like Green Bay in the middle of winter. And do they start the game at 12:30 in the afternoon, so at least there's whatever, it might be a really frozen sunshine, but at least there's light and sunshine, and people can drive, and there might be snow on the ground, but you can see it. If there wouldn't be black ice on the ground, they'd be driving over white ice, or something like that. But no, television money talks, and so the game starts at 6:30, and it goes even to, you know, as it happens, overtime didn't last that long, but this could have gone on until 11 o'clock. And so kids watching would already have to have gone to bed and couldn't have seen the game. I mean, it's just, you know, I agree, especially when Mushnick writes about the fact that games are changed in the last minute or the week before, the times of the games. And that's just totally wrong. I mean, if it's one thing if at the very beginning of the season they plan, okay, this game will be on this date, and start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or this game will start, you know, this will be an evening game for Monday Night Football. But a few days earlier, or 2 weeks earlier, when they say a game that was going to start at 4 will now start at 8:30 at night, and force all ticket holders to change their plans, and TV viewers to change their plans, or do it on TiVo, because they can't watch it live, or they can't catch the end of the game, or else they come into work next morning zombies. That really does start to suck. And it's not right, and they do it for baseball too, of course. So, and the reason I also bring that up is that, knock, knock, knock on wood, one of the guests who's coming up on Dave's Gone By in the weeks ahead, assuming all works out, will be Phil Mushnick. I've been wanting to get him on my show for years. It just never occurred to me to, like, he's one of those people, I was like, every time I read his column, oh, I need to get him on the show. Oh, he talks about all these interesting stuff. Early in the beginnings of Dave's Gone By, my 11 o'clock show, I actually did a thing about Phil Mushnick and about how I liked him as a writer, but disagreed with him on certain points, and I did a monologue about it on my show. But it never occurred to me to, at that point, to call him up and get him on the radio show. And so finally, it just occurred to me, what am I waiting for? Super Bowl Sunday is coming up in 2 weeks, and I still read him. I still think that he's the most interesting, entertaining, and most of the time agreed with sports writer out there. Get him on the show. And so in 1 or 2 or 3 weeks, knocking on wood, we should have Phil Mushnick from the New York Post on Dave's Gone By, along with, well, I'm so excited about this, and I'm not being facetious, but one of the writers of the greatest Broadway musical of all time. Now, you've got, I mean, different people will have different reactions to that statement. I mean, if you're an 18-year-old girl, maybe it's Phantom of the Opera or Cats, you know, because she saw it when she was 14 and that's all she's seen. But If you talk to people who know a bit about theater, it's going to be divided into a couple of camps. If you're, like, in your 40s and 50s and you're gay, probably you think the greatest musical was Gypsy. And, I mean, and there's certainly stuff to back that up. Or if you're really from kind of an older school in your 70s or 80s and stuff, you might think, oh, no, maybe King and I or Carousel, one of those, or South Pacific. If, however, you're, what's the other one that I'm kind of missing here? Oh, yeah, if you're a WASP and you have your first drink before 12:30 in the afternoon, My Fair Lady. That's the greatest musical of all time. But if you're a New York Jewish guy, middle-aged, older, like me, then greatest musical ever in Broadway history had to be, of course, Fiddler on the Roof. Well, one of the writers of Fiddler on the Roof, the lyricist on songs like matchmaker, matchmaker, to life, l'chaim, do you love me? Okay? Miracle of miracles, sunrise, sunset. The guy who wrote the lyrics to these songs, Sheldon Harnick, will be my guest on Dave's Gone By. It's either going to be next week or the week after. So that, the only word I can use for it is quelling. I've always wanted to have more, because I've had theater actors and a couple of directors and certainly a lot of pop musicians on the show, but not as many of the creators of musical theater and play. I've had a couple of playwrights, but I've always wanted to have a few more. And so this really feels a little bit of a gap in there, to have someone who has written such an important and nearly perfect Broadway show is so exciting to me. Sheldon Harnick. And by the way, Harnick did not write only Fiddler on the Roof. He was also the lyricist for She Loves Me, another wonderful musical that's more esteemed now than it was when it first came out. He also wrote Fiorello, which was a terrifically popular musical, and a couple of musicals that flopped too, and that have some good things in them. But hey, none of that matters. He co-wrote Fiddler, and that's all you need to know, and that's why he's going to be in the neighborhood in a week or two or three. So a lot of cool stuff coming up on my regular show, Dave's Gone By, every Sunday night at 11 on WGBB AM 1240 on your radio dial. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, on this very, very, very cold, but rather exciting football-wise Sunday night, January 20th, 2008, to the 256th episode of Dave's Gone By. Comedy, music, talk radio, interviews, all that kind of stuff every week, Sunday nights at 11 on WGBB. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I'm here with my special guest co-host, Jeffrey Goodman. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm cold.
I know. Is it it was cold before.
It's icicle cold.
Is it really? Ouch. But it's only going to be for a day or two, and then it's going to go back to the 30s and
40s. Well, it's supposed to go back up to a very lovely temperature on Wednesday, because Wednesday's supposed to be a very spectacular day.
Are you being facetious, or it's actually going to be nice, or we're going to get a snowstorm?
Kind of being facetious, but...
Oh,
but
why?
Because there's something spectacular to celebrate on Wednesday.
What?
Isn't your birthday Wednesday?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave of the 1-2-3 birthday.
That's right. January 23rd, I will turn 44 years old. Where has my life gone?
So on 1-2-3, you'll be 4-4.
Right. Now, it'll be better next year, obviously, because I'll be 1-2-3 and 4-5. I don't know where you fit the 64 in, but somewhere in there is the year I was... But anyway, yes, I'm an Aquarius with my feces rising. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, big week for me. I can't say I feel any different or anything coming
well,
on.
Well, Dave, what's the big difference between 43 and 44?
What's the difference between 12 and 13, or... 17.
Oh, well, then that
well,
you are,
man.
At
jail time, actually. That's the difference between 17 and 18. I mean, I see more gray hairs on the side of my head, the top of my head. That's about it.
Pubically?
Yeah. I mean, I've got the old pubic's cube down there. I shift some hairs around, and I try and get the grays all lined up and the black all lined up in the empty space.
And it spells help me.
Help me! Help me! See Alice! Anyway, and I see Alice over there. This is Dave Lefkowitz, that's Jeff Goodman. We're doing Dave's Gone By, as we do together most weeks. I'm here every week. And we're here by the good graces of our sponsors, who include...
Mother Nature.
Well, actually, Mother Nature gets much colder to keep us from doing this, but who are our paid sponsors, the people we love.
That would be MortgagesRock.com?
MortgagesRock.com, where you learn to be a mortgage broker and get the commission for helping people get financing. What are our other sponsors?
Oh, the Copy Kings of Broadway.
You lit Minuteman Press.
Why'd you jump on that?
Oh, so, well, I thought you were giving me the...
I was going to say, otherwise known as, and then I was
going to... Oh, sorry. Let's do it again.
Oh, the Copy Kings of Broadway, otherwise known as...
You lit Minuteman Press. 10% off any job, big or small, for Dave's Gone By listeners.
And, of course, they're next to Filene Shoes.
Filene's?
Oh, to
Lomans, dude.
So sorry.
I can see it in your eyes. You're kind of tired tonight.
I'm exhausted.
How come you're exhausted? What'd you?
I don't know. I picked up a cat yesterday. I went to see.
Is that a metaphor?
I adopted a cat from my friend Oscar at the Town of Oyster Bay Animal Shelter, and I'm a little concerned about it. We could call Oscar and wake him, but because I want to know if the cat's eaten, because the cat hasn't been eating well.
Oh.
So,
It's, you know, he just got to this new home.
I know,
he's going to be, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah, but he's already taken antibiotics for, like, a sniffle the cat has.
Well, antibiotics will change. First of all, it's going to, you know what you're like when you're on antibiotics. You don't want to eat and you sleep.
I never don't want to eat.
Yeah, well, good point. Hey, let's also thank Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
The Bible of Broadway.
The Bible, that's right, of Broadway for 65 years. Everything you want to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off, cabaret, opera, and dance, and performing arts.
Will they tell me for the last 65 years?
I've been involved in it for about 6 years now, but it's been around since 1944 and still going very, very strong.
And I hear you have a special deal for our listeners.
Yeah. You can get a full season, 12 issues, the monthly version of Performing Arts
Which
Insider.
Is worth how much?
Well, it's worth $165. But Dave's got my listeners, $120. $10 an issue. Cheaper than really can get
And I'll make it
else.
$118 just for your birthday. I'll subsidize every listener $2.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. Until the end of this month, $118.
I said your birthday. Until your birthday.
My birthday's on Wednesday.
Yeah, so?
It's not giving people enough time. The end of the month.
Give me your own money.
Come on.
I'll pay for it till your birthday. You pay for the end of the month.
No, I won't do it. All right, but I'll tell you what. Until Wednesday night, 11:59 p.m., anybody who wants to subscribe to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, instead of the $120 that... that it costs. Jeff will subsidize you $2 extra, and
then
it's only
$118
for 12
for your
issues.
Birthday.
That's nice. It is nice.
100 plus high. And you know, I just don't want to do it, because remember last time we ran that kind of sale, how much money it cost me?
You pitched in a lot more money that time, but I thank you very much, and it was good.
I'm pitching your own money. Happy birthday.
Unlikely. Thank you. And also thank you to Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. That's balloons and centerpieces. What's the phone number, Jeff?
I don't know. 516?
Uh-huh.
797-3229?
What's that again?
Is it 516-797-3229?
For Fancy Schmancy Balloons. And I want to remind everybody also, if you haven't seen it yet, Shalom Dammit airs every Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Woodbury Cablevision. That's the regular, normal Cablevision on Long Island. Channel 20, 7:30 in the morning, Shalom Dammit, and there's some new episodes coming this week and next. So if you've been seeing the same one over and over, don't worry. There's new
Shalom Dammit.
And you can see all the episodes so far on YouTube anytime by searching under Shalom Dammit. Okay, now, got to move this show along real quick, letting you know that on this show tonight, we've got Inside Broadway, lots of theater news to talk about, and Jeff and I both went to a Broadway show this week. We both saw the same show on the same night.
The same show.
The same show. No, it was not a shame. It was actually pretty good. What was it, Jeff?
It was the 39 Steps.
On Broadway.
The Alfred Hitchcock adaptation. Well, it's
it was him being
adaptation of Alfred Hitchcock's The 39 Steps.
Which they're doing in a funny way on Broadway. Both Jeff and I saw it.
At the American Airlines Theater.
Right. It's a roundabout producing it, but it's not their thing. They grab it from some other small theater company and something like
no,
that.
No, I think they brought the rights from England, and
they're
go.
Doing it. Anyway, so that's on Inside Broadway. And then As promised, part two of my conversation with singer-songwriter Issa, formerly known as Jane Sibri, the woman who wrote Calling All Angels, she wrote the hockey song, she wrote Everything Reminds Me of My Dog, wrote lots of amazing stuff, and she's... It was an interesting conversation last week. We talked about her career. Now it gets weird. Now it gets into this whole sort of inner psychological weird stuff. Don't miss it. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we've got a little bit of business to do, and then Jeff and I will be back with Inside Broadway on this edition of Dave's Gone by the Giant Spanning, because the Giants won 23-20. I'm not even a Giant fan, but somehow I'm excited about that.
Well, it's because today's the 20th, and your birthday is on the 23rd. Therefore,
so, and they won 23-20, so there's a 23.
Birthday to today.
Yeah, what?
Your birthday to today, 23-20.
Yeah. I never get when he does these numerological things. All I know is we've got about 1 minute to Inside Broadway. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Dave's Gone By with the Inside Broadway segment. With a lot of stuff, a lot of things happening on Broadway, you're going to get through them pretty quick. First one, I'm going to leave mostly to Jeff.
No!
Yeah, he knows what it is. He knows.
No!
What was announced this week on Broadway?
Rent's closing.
After
12 years.
12 years on Broadway, Rent is closing at Broadway's Niederlander Theater. It is the seventh longest-running show in the history of Broadway. And it is the second longest-running show currently on Broadway. The only other thing longer is Phantom of the Opera, which also just goes to show you how long Phantom of the Opera's been around. But
Lion King's coming up real close behind it.
Well, Rent will have to close first, and then...
Yeah.
Then, now,
but they can't, they're not even going to beat Beauty and the Beast.
No. No. Well, I mean, as you said, you've seen the movie, and Rent may be something of its time at this point.
Yeah, it's getting to be kind of a... I hate to say it, because I just love the show. I fell in love with the show the minute I saw it, like one of the first previews off-Broadway. And I've been just such a big fan and proponent of it ever since. And also, it's very touching because the writer and creator of Rent, Jonathan Larson, passed away before the first public preview of it.
Right.
And, you know, this is his legacy, and now it's gone, and it's just...
Well, it's going June 1st. They're giving people a chance to see it, and around that time, we'll talk more about it, because you had that amazing experience when you saw it first at New York Theater Workshop, and that snow day, and it's a great story. We don't have time for it now, but the week that it closes on June 1st, we'll do it. And Rent, of course, was the launch pad of people who have become pretty famous, including folks like Jesse L. Martin, Idina Menzel, who went to be on in Wicked.
Idina.
Is it Idina?
It's Idina.
Well, Idina, Udina, we all Dina. Anthony Rapp, Daphne Rubin Vega, who was a guest on this program. She started in Rent. And Tay Diggs, who's a big TV guy now. So, Rent.
And you mentioned Anthony Rapp, right?
I might have forgotten him, but Anthony Rapp. Sorry, him too. So, you know, you have a few weeks.
And also Leo Butz.
Norbert Leo Butz was a Rent guy. So, no. No buts about it. Moving on to other Broadway and off-Broadway news. Coming to off-Broadway, the return of Vita and Virginia. This time starring Kathleen Chalfant and Patricia Elliott. Kind of an interesting cast there. Vita and Virginia is a two-person play based on the letters between the poet Vita Sackville-West and Virginia Woolf, who apparently together had a kind of somewhat steamy lesbo affair. And that's intimated more fairly directly in this play. I remember seeing it, or actually I saw it, I don't really remember seeing it, off-Broadway, where it originally starred Vanessa Redgrave and, who else was in there? It was it was a major cast. Well, whatever. I find it kind of boring. But they're bringing it back, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming to the Zipper Theater in February.
So get your car seat ready.
And the kind of cutest thing about it is that they do a one-weekend tryout of this in Arizona, and they quote Kathleen Chalfant as saying, Tucson is our new haven, which I thought was kind of cute.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on.
You know what else is closing off Broadway this week? Not this week,
yeah.
But it was announced. is the Fantastics.
Yeah, they're closing February 24th. I'm surprised it lasted. I'm surprised it lasted this long, to tell you the truth. I'm not talking about the original Fantastics that ran for 38 years. I'm talking about this revised, which is really the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a different theater.
In a Snapple theater.
In a Snapple theater. The only cool thing about this, I mean, it's a cute show. It's a nice show with some nice music. The only really interesting part was that one of the authors has been in it, Tom Jones, under an assumed name. Henry Bruce has been playing the old actor, and he's been in it for the past 2 years.
Oh.
So the score was written by Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt.
Did you know that? When did you find that out?
When the thing opened. I saw him in it.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, hey, man, he wrote it. He's in it. That was kind of neat. But so if you have about a month now to see the Fantastics, if you want to, off-Broadway at the Snapple
Theater. With its creator.
I'm sorry?
With its creator.
With its creator in it, Henry Bruce, a.k.a. Tom Jones. Also, if you care about off-Broadway, the Lucille Lortel Awards, they've announced the dates for that. It's going to be happening May 5th at the Union Square Theater. The nominees are going to be announced on the 1st of April. And that's when tickets are going to go on sale. And then they're going to have a cocktail party. The irony is that the Lucille Lortel Awards are to honor off-Broadway. And Lucille Lortel actually has a theater named after her. It was the Theatre de Lille that
she
named.
Owned it.
Yeah.
She owned the Theatre de Lille.
Her theater. But none of this is going to be happening at her theater or, you know, the awards are going to be at the Union Square Theater. And then they're going to have a cocktail party to honor the nominees on April 21st. At the American Airlines Theater on Broadway. I just don't get the whatever of that. And another off-Broadway show is not closing, but celebrating something of a birthday. My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, and I'm in Therapy, which has been running rather quietly at the West Side Theater, has now run for 500 performances.
Really?
Steve Solomon's no longer in it. Now they have Paul Kreppel in this one-man... it's basically a stand-up comedy act with a lot of pretty old jokes, and it's kind of, I was like, yeah, but audiences love it. It's 500 shows old, so happy 500. They reached it last Thursday to My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, and I'm in Therapy. And finally, in Broadway theater news, in this Inside Broadway edition, the show we mentioned earlier, Happy Happy to Phantom of the Opera. As of January 26th, Phantom of the Opera will have been open on Broadway for 20 years. It opened in 1988. Is that amazing?
Yes.
Since then, it has had grosses worldwide of over $5 billion. On January 26th, it will play performances number 8,138 and 8,139 at the Majestic Theater, because, you know, it's a matinee day, so they're doing two shows. It is by 2 years now the longest running current show on in Broadway history. And the only sad part is, I now realize that I will probably not see a longer running show in my lifetime. No other show now, with Rent closing and Phantom still running, it's so unlikely, I think.
Like Lion King could run forever.
Right, but Phantom would have to close, and then Lion King will have to keep running at least 2 years beyond the close of Phantom, you know,
right,
etc. But Phantom is not closing at any time soon. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty unlikely for anything
what
to
I think is
that.
Amazing is that the Majestic has been open for 20 years with the
same show. Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
And the other one really amazing thing about it, George Lee Andrews.
Oh, yes, he's still in it.
He was there from the very beginning. I don't think he's in the same role. He's playing Monsieur André now. Maybe he was something else.
No, he was. That's who he was.
He's still playing Monsieur André.
Well, I think he left and came back.
Well, but he's back, and he's the only... There was one other. The woman playing Madame Giry was...
yeah, she was there for a long time.
So anyway, I just, again, to give people an idea of the length of time this has been, Rent would have had to run 8 more years after Phantom closed just to catch up. So
yeah,
it just shows you how long these things are. Anyway, Jeff and I both saw a Broadway show this week called The 39 Steps, and we're going to review it right after this message. what's playing on Broadway. I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Why is it special? Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511, or see PerformingArtsInsider.com. And thank you, as always, to Performing Arts Insider for sponsoring Inside Broadway. Now, Jeff and I stepped into a Broadway theater together this week. We don't always, you know, go to the theater together, so this was kind of neat. And we saw at the Roundabout American Airlines Theater on West 42nd Street, The 39 Steps, based on the Alfred Hitchcock film.
And by the way, just for the record, what number episode of Dave's Gone By is this?
It's number 256.
Oh, I thought it was 239. Okay. Well, for that.
It's 256 steps to get to this particular program, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, this was adapted by Patrick Barlow from the old Hitchcock film. But he turns things on its head. They keep the storyline, although they throw in little extra touches. But the whole idea is to make it a spoof, to make it kind of funny and zany and to goof on everything and other Hitchcock films as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it is, for about an hour and 45 minutes, very lighthearted, and it's a crime, melodrama, comedy, zany, spoofy, Hitchcocky thing that's done really inventively. Did you laugh?
Yes. Well, it's the thing that's so wonderful, it's done with four people.
True.
There are only four actors playing a myriad of roles. I mean, only the lead actor, who's very handsome, by the way.
They make a big joke of that.
Every time they, you know, he's the wanted man, but every time they give his description, and he's very handsome, he's even handsomer when he was running.
As he runs, his pencil-thin mustache gleams in the moonlight. I mean, they'll say things like that, yeah.
And it's very funny that way. But besides the lead, the other three people must play at least 60, 70 roles.
Something like that. And
it's amazing.
That's barely an exaggeration.
And both men, and they play both male and female characters.
Oh, yeah.
So it's quite entertaining, and, you know.
Well, let's also give the cast their due. Charles Edwards, Jennifer Ferrin, Cliff Saunders, and Arnie Burton. I mean, I remember Arnie Burton when he was first starting out with the Pearl Theater Company. He was one of their core people, and he'd show up in a lot of their comedies and stuff because he's a very malleable face. And you kept thinking, yeah, you know, he could go places. And finally, here he is on Broadway, getting some terrific reviews, by the
mm-hmm.
way. I found him sometimes wonderful, sometimes too over the top.
There's
one character where he does where it's like a Germanic sort of lunatic. And I was like, it's not...
Which character?
It's kind of in the middle of the first act where he's really going a little
off the rails. But I thought when he plays the women, like especially the... The innkeeper's wife.
Yes, yes.
He was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the time he was. The other guy, Cliff Saunders, is this squat kind of Bob Hoskins-looking man, and he plays a lot of different roles, too. He's really funny, and he does this physical flip where he goes flat on his back, and then legs overhead and flat again.
That's how he dies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but to watch it, you know, without stunts, without any kind of trampoline or anything, was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of things. And the woman is really good, too. I mean, she's funny when she needs to be funny, sexy when she needs to be sexy.
And very German when she needs to be German.
Very German. And I liked it. I just didn't laugh so
loud.
Well,
you know what it was? First of all, you never did find out what the 39 steps were.
Well, that's a MacGuffin. You're not supposed... It's a formula. There were 39 steps to create this spy uranium-230-something formula. So that's the joke of the play, too, towards the end, when the guy's dying, and he's trying to give off the secret of what it is, and he rattles off this thing that could have come out of, that character in Waiting for Godot's Mouth when he's got the run-on sentence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky's monologue. I mean, it's meaningless in some kind of code. It doesn't matter. We've gone all through that. That's not what it's about,
right.
Even though it's the title. That's classic Hitchcock anyway.
But I thought you had one very astute moment when you told me that it reminded you of the play What I Wrote, which was excellent comparison. Both of them, very entertaining evening. It's just a lighthearted evening's entertainment.
Yeah. I really don't know if it works in that theater. I think it needs an off-Broadway theater. It just felt kind of airless there. I wasn't laughing hard enough, and I wasn't engaged enough to really... be. Well, I can't even recommend it.
Actually, no. I thought it was good.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it was, you know, worth the price of admission, full price at least. But I think it's a very interesting evening of entertainment. I think it's good, but the problem is it wears thin.
Okay.
You know, it's four characters. You know, maybe if they did two spoofs of two different types of things. You remember the musical of musicals? You know, when they did the same show four different times.
Right, right.
That works because you experienced the same thing four different times. Well, if they took this four character idea and maybe did it with two different types of movies, or two.
Oh, actually, that reminds me of the that George C. Scott movie. Remember that? There was a film where they made fun of two different kinds of films in it. I haven't seen that in ages, but I remember it being pretty funny. When the show was over, I turned to you and I said, you know, it's good, but it just is something missing. It just doesn't play here.
It's not like classic theater.
Well, actually, in some ways, that's the thing. It is, because it's all about the very basics. It's about movement and make-believe, and, you know, someone's holding up a wooden frame that is a window, and that becomes a window, and they step through it, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
It is the most elemental kind of theater.
Oh, well, that's what makes it good.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I think it does go on a little bit too long.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, they throw in all these, you know, nice little things, like the shadow puppet scenes were very funny.
Yeah.
And you know.
I love that one psych gag early in the thing where he finds the woman dead on his couch, and she's got a knife in her back.
Yes.
And then she's clutching this piece of paper. And I'm not going to tell people how he gets the piece of paper out of her hand. It was a very, very funny gag. That gag was the big laugh.
Only second to how he got out from underneath her.
How do you do that?
He had to slide out under the chair because she was resting on the arms of the chair.
Yeah. Well, no, that was just funny to watch,
yeah.
But that wasn't like it wasn't a gag thing. That was just a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as you can see, it was a kind of an enjoyable show. Maybe I'm liking it a little more in retrospect than
I mean, because it does entertain you. It just goes on a little much.
Okay. Well, that's kind of like this show, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you're recommending 39 Steps.
I would buy it maybe at half price.
Okay. And anyway, no price at all. Absolutely free for you to keep listening to the next half hour of this broadcast.
It's priceless entertainment.
Priceless entertainment. Priceless entertainment. Because we have singer-songwriter part two with the one and only, the lovely and very, very talented Issa on Dave's Gone By, coming up right after these messages. La 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 la.
We're going to the seashore, gonna burst upon the grass, in the car that's full of babies and dogs and food and wine, then in our suits and salsa hair, and everyone feeling so fine. The sky.
We're talking, by the way, with Issa, and I'm thrilled to be doing that. Do you have a couple more minutes?
I do. I don't feel very coherent tonight, so I hope that I'm still making sense. But
Well, I never make sense. So between the two of us, we're, you know, completely illogical. But that's the nature of this program. It's fine.
Oh, no. I'm counting on you to make me sound good, Dave.
Oh, I'll do it in the editing. Believe me, the whole interview will be 3 minutes long, and it'll sound amazing. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. And your mom was great, by the way. She's fabulous.
I don't believe anything she said.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you something different next time.
No, let's get to the art. I'm sure that's more interesting to you and more fun for you to talk about. So let me ask you a really dumb question that people ask songwriters. Which comes first, the music or the lyrics?
Do people really care about that? I mean, are you really...
Well, yeah. I think that people... I care about the process. So I'm kind of curious what your process is.
I bet you've heard from other artists that sometimes they can't even remember how they wrote a song.
Sure, absolutely. That? Yeah. And I also... Yeah, sorry. I talk to a lot of theater writers and composers. So, you know, some of them just do the melody, or someone will come up with a phrase and that turns into a song. So it is interesting to me how the process happens for different kinds of songwriters. That's why I asked.
Well, sometimes I can't remember how did I ever write a song. It's a wonder to me. I don't have a clue. That's how far songwriting is from the normal state of mind, I think. But when I am in that mode, actually, I described it in Vladimir, a song called Vladimir, Bird in the Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
Something captures me, and then I try to capture it back. So it's really simply a power struggle, and there can't be equilibrium or rest until you're both sort of frozen in the middle of the ring. So if something moves me, I really can't rest until I've captured it somehow. Isn't that a terrible thing to do to something? It is just really enjoyable. I just keep paraphrasing my songs. And writers are a funny breed, I think. I say, what if we just let things be? Writers are a funny breed. You know, why can't we just let things be? And that will be the end of the road for a writer.
Yeah, artists can never do that. They never let things be. They've got to always push and kick and tear a little bit. That's what it's all about.
Really?
I'm sorry?
Really? I said really?
I think so. You know, I maybe come from a different sort of more, I don't know, aggressive and unsettled place. Maybe I'll be different in a couple of years. I don't know.
Okay, but do you believe we have to suffer to create something?
No, absolutely not. I think you can be in a really joyful place. But while you're...
You can fight and bite in a happy way.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're still... I mean, you can start something and get a third of the way through it in absolute, like, yeah, this is going. But then you have to finish it, whether it's a play or a song. And especially since some of the songs you write are now like 5 or 6 or 8 minute mini epics, like Grace Hospital or songs like that, where that doesn't just come out in one thing and you get up from the piano and it's 45 minutes and it's done. So there's some grappling going on and some weeding and some, you know, heavy work with the pliers and the scissors. Or am I wrong?
I think that you're trying to eke all my dirty little secrets out of me.
Oh, well, yeah, that's my
job. Mm. Yeah, and it won't happen here. Not with my mother in the room, anyway.
Okay. Well, I was also tempted to ask about the personal life of whether, you know, the really typical sort of stuff of, like, what is your social life, if you don't mind, my whatever.
No, I'm surprised more people don't ask me about it, and it actually makes me feel hurt that people don't ask me more about it. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. Well, basically, I don't have much of one because I don't live anywhere.
Well, your mom's in a hotel room with you. That tells you something right there. But no, I kid.
Yeah. No, today is actually, it is big day. It is my uncle's 90th birthday, and this is a Sibiri. He and his wife were the inspiration for me changing my name to Sibiri. So.
Oh, okay.
Very special day. So, now my personal life, no. What were we talking about? Songwriting? Oh,
uh-huh,
the lyrics.
No, sorry. I don't even, and forgive me for not even knowing this or if this is too personal, but I honestly don't know your orientation. And it's maybe none of my business, but I'm curious.
North?
Canadian. That's your orientation is Canadian.
Yeah, I'm up there.
Uh-huh. Well, when was the last time you were in a relationship? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, I lost the...
Yeah. I don't know. A good one, a bad one? Can you be more specific?
Well, anyone that wasn't like just a date, you know, something that was a real sort of a couple turning into a couple, even if it didn't end
coupling.
Well.
Coupling.
Well,
oh.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Can I get back to you on that?
Sure, if you want to be on another episode.
Okay. Well. It might be a few years, but...
Now you know why people don't ask you these questions, okay. I'm kidding.
Well,
no, but is it a sore spot, or is it just, like, so personal that you don't...
It's not a sore spot. It's more I just can't remember, partly.
Oh.
But orientation-wise, I really think that's none of anyone's business.
Okay.
And I'm always... No, don't be too nice about it. I'm always surprised when people introduce themselves with their orientation, or that... I don't know. Or if we do, I think maybe it's a really good goal for us to always be removing any word that separates us, you know, so or separates us in a superficial way. So maybe our question is, are you gay, are you straight, are you black, are you white, are you Asian?
Well, I know you're white, and female, so, yeah.
Well, so you think.
Fair enough. Okay. I haven't checked the chromosomes, but yeah, I'm assuming that there's a femininity there.
Well, I have more feminine energy than masculine. See, I'm actually too precise, because I think the ultimate marriage is within, and that means that would be probably even parts male and female.
So, okay.
And you didn't ask which life, or how many, I mean, I have been male in other lives, and I have been female. Are you talking about this life?
Yeah. I tend to be a this life kind of a guy. Okay. I know I'm being a little glib, but I am a this life kind of a guy.
Okay.
Because in my next life, I'll be on NBC. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You're old-fashioned.
Yes. Well, yeah, I am.
Going backwards.
Okay. I mean, I totally admit it. I'm a thoroughly middle-classy kind of ghetto consciousness, not ghetto like black ghetto, but ghetto like Jewish Warsaw ghetto kind of, you know, what's wrong with him kind of a guy. That's me. That's where I come from. But I don't say that, but, you know.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And people are thinking that about you?
Yeah, well, I'm sure. After they hear me for a while, what's wrong with him? And then they hear me some more, and they don't care. So.
Yeah, you don't mean.
No, not with you. With me. Believe me.
No, I hope you don't mean that about you either.
No,
what's a middle-class ghetto?
Well, I'm saying that, like, the shtetl mentality, the mentality that comes out of Brooklyn, New York, and being Jewish and being oppressed for however many thousands of years, even though I'm not particularly oppressed now, well, you know, I'm one of those people who oppress themselves. And so, you know... I've got enough to contend with living this life, let alone worrying about if I was a sheep 2,000 years ago in Babylonia. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. I told you we shouldn't have gone here. Oh, well.
Well, the next obvious question is, I mean, do you think time is linear, or are all our lifetimes happening at the same time? I mean, if we're going to be precise in our communication.
Well, if we want to be precise, I don't know. And with all due respect, I don't think anybody can know. I think time may fold back on itself in that sort of helix physics kind of way. But until I'm dead and God explains it to me, if he has, you know, a free moment and he wants to, all I can go on is what I know from here. And I'm not psychic, and I've never had any kind of psychic or otherworldly powers. I've had the occasional deja vu moment. That's about it. So I have to go from a very prescribed kind of, this is my life, I'm here, I die, I may come back, I may not. I can't leap into a place where people like you go and say, oh, well, this is just this particular life, and there's another life that I'm leading right now somewhere else, and then a life that will happen when I die and come back and blah, blah, blah.
When I die and pulled back upon myself.
As it were.
As it were, and as it were in the beginning.
I'm not. Yeah, I should be asking you these questions.
Well, I must say I'm a little bit concerned because you're not painting a very attractive picture of yourself.
Well, okay. I'm not necessarily.
I mean, I'm concerned for yourself because I don't believe that's true, or you wouldn't have a radio show called Days Gone By.
Well, I can be nostalgic, and I can value old times and things that make me happy through my life. Doesn't necessarily mean I have to believe in a further life beyond, or that I had all these past lives or future lives. I mean,
oh, yeah, no, I didn't mean that, and I'm not saying I believe in that either.
Oh.
I don't care about that, but, I mean, just you're painting yourself as, I don't know how well you do on, you know, partners.com.
Is that like a match.com kind of a thing? Like a,
yeah,
well,
dating, because, I don't know, middle class, what's wrong with that guy?
Well, ask my wife. I've been married for 10 years, so.
Oh, maybe, is she there?
No, I'm
my
just...
mother, and I'll talk to you.
No, my mom would paint a beautiful picture of me, and my wife, maybe more Dorian Gray. With me, I'm not sure how it would come. I'd be half gray and half rather bizarre, sort of Dali-esque and melting. I think that would be the picture. Speaking of which, getting back to you, since this is about you, when did the painting come in?
Last year.
Just started?
Well, yes.
Oh!
I've wanted to paint for a long time, but I've never... And sometimes I take sketchbooks, but I've never been able to paint, but... Last year when I was working with the engineer in Vancouver and sitting around a lot while he did complicated rhythm things that I asked him to do, I started painting and for some reason I can paint. But I think I'm painting in an abstract way, so it's like I took the bars, I took the limitations away trying to paint exactly what I could see in my head, and for some reason that's allowed me to start painting, so it's been fun.
Do you see a connection there? Because, I mean, everyone from Bob Dylan to Joni Mitchell to a lot of people who, Tony Bennett, who are musically inclined, somehow feel that they need to pick up a brush and be inclined that way as well.
Oh, gosh, you just made me feel so special.
Well, okay, you have a pretty nice canon of musical work, so I think it's fair to include you among some pretty special songwriters and singers.
Actually, I didn't mean that, but...
What did you mean?
The painting is just a very personal, private thing, and it's been really fun. And I actually have often thought it made more sense that I'd be a painter than a musician, because I pretty well see each song before I write it, which gets back to your other question.
Oh, now that is interesting. So
it seemed more logical that I paint or do films, and I used to keep track of paintings that I'd see full-blown, all the details, and I would write them in words in case I ever learned how to paint.
Wow.
Like paintings that were on file cards. But.
So, I mean, this is kind of an obvious thing, but, like, when you wrote Lena is a White Table, did that you just suddenly see a white table and then the song came?
Yeah, I could see the breeze and the post at the corner of the porch and the quality of light and... Yeah, and the people, the sort of hosers on the hill talking to each other about playing darts. But oddly, that song I think is one of the saddest songs I've ever written because when you write in your diary, you can write about the middle spectrum of your life, but the happiest moments and the worst moments never go into the book. So if anyone ever got a hold of your journals and wrote, you know, the biography of blah, 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 which I wish people would stop doing because I think people should I just feel terrible when I hear, well, okay, I don't feel terrible, but, you know, I heard about someone who spent 27 years of her life going through all the records of this, what I didn't think was a very interesting person, to write a book and do a movie about her.
Whom, like E. Sedgwick or someone like that, or someone I'd never heard of, you mean?
Yeah, I don't remember the name, but I felt really sick afterwards, and unfortunately it was a premiere, and the director was there, and anyway, I wanted to leave before I said anything, but I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, so in other words, before you go, you're going to make sure that your journal finds a dumpster somewhere.
Maybe. Actually, I have kept hold of all my journals, and I think, well, I have to think about that before I let them go.
Well, that's fair.
Those are the hardest things, the real things that are a reflection of your soul, I suppose. The closer you get to the quick, when you get rid of your possessions, you get, you know, the things you love. And there's no reason to get rid of them. I'm not recommending it for anyone, but for me, it was either get rid of them or die in a certain way.
Ouch.
At a certain level.
But doesn't the deepest stuff go into some of your songs?
Yes. So Lena is a White Table, thank you, was about something at the bottom end of the spectrum that you don't have words for, and so that's why it's such a surreal image. I could just pour the emotion into the chorus. And the rest of the song is just more sort of, you know, not silly, but lighter. So that's a song about something I just didn't have the words for.
Huh.
And so I didn't use normal words. You know when people are in a state of shock and they start to babble, but they're saying something?
Right. Well, yeah, there's still something behind it, yeah.
Yeah. And so when you hear people who are supposedly mentally ill, it's saying something, but with different languages.
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something.
Hello, everyone. This is Issa, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Time to, unfortunately, wrap up our conversation with Issa. It's been fun. It's been wild. It's been weird and kind of as I expected, and a little psychoanalytical on my end, which I wasn't sort of expecting, but that was fun, too, I think. I hope it wasn't painful. I hope it won't be one of the lowlights that you leave out of your journal because it was so miserable. I'm kidding. I am kidding here. Okay.
Honestly, I don't think I would write about this in my journal anyway. But no, I'm just kidding. But yes, so what I was saying about journals is that it really isn't. It's a distortion. It's bookended by silence on either end. The real core is at either end, not in the middle, not what people hear about. But it's just something that I realize when I'm reading a biography or whatever.
Okay.
If people are like me, anyway.
Well, to hear the silences and the sounds of Issa, I guess we should have said this a while ago, but, you know, you do have websites where people can download for various things and your music and your tchotchkes, as it were. One is isalight.com, right? And the other is, you still have the Sheba website as well, the Sheba Records.
.ca, that's where all the music is, yeah.
So, and you can get to Sheba from isalight.com as well.
Yep.
There's a link. So, if you want to support Issa and her vision and her music, that's the place to go.
Please don't say that.
Oh, no. Why? Not.
I don't want to be supported. If they want to check it out, sure.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you can support yourself. I'm glad that you're self-sustaining and
I'm not, but I just don't want to ask. Or it sounds funny to me. No, I need nourishment, and I need, but I know that I'll get it, and I just want it to come. I don't know. Just don't say it like that.
Okay, that's cool. If you want to check out Issa's work, just to look at it and to see and to hear it, that's the place to go, isalight.com. And also, of course, to see her, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to her a month ago was she was playing at the bottom line. That's where I saw her years ago. She was playing at Joe's Pub, and I'm sure you'll be back there at least once or twice in 2008, I hope, in New York. Well, good. And of course, you're invited back on the show when you're back in town.
I might have to make a personal visit just because I am concerned about you, Dave.
Well, thank you. So our door is open here in the neighborhood. If you can schlep out to Babylon, Long Island, you know, maybe you play Stephen's Talk House or something like that, by all means, please
what
come
house?
In. Oh, there's a place on the East End called Stephen's Talk House where a lot of the folk performers I'm not that you're a folk performer, but people who aren't heavy, big rock bands and who are for a more intelligent, sort of discerning audience play.
What the heck?
It was a compliment.
Oh, okay.
Well, what do you? Okay. How would you describe yourself? How would you, if you were to describe your music, what would you call it?
I would say I'm a stylized storyteller with great taste in clothes.
I love
Do you have a seal there? What's going on?
That's my hands clapping.
It's okay.
The sound of two hands clapping. There's nothing zen about it. It's middle class and Jewish. So stylist.
Wait.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a complaint.
Sure.
I went to a Jewish storytelling night at Joe's Pub the night after my show.
Uh huh.
You didn't happen to be there, did you?
No. I mean, was that one of those Heeb things? H E E.
Yeah. It was just awful. I was so upset for the people in the audience, too. It was just, oh, my gosh.
Well, I apologize for Jews everywhere. It's all our fault. We're one collective, you know, Hebraic sadness about it.
No, let me say, I went there because I know how wonderful Jewish storytelling is.
Oh, okay.
So it was a compliment.
Well, thanks.
But I just thought, you know, a lot of... Okay, well, I just...
No, it's cool. It's, you know, I thank you for that odd kind
humor
of compliment thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, humor is like a... is, to me, is a direct link to the divine as music is.
Well, we agree on that.
Yeah.
I mean, we totally agree on that, and I'm thrilled to be able to conclude on that note with the wonderful and the humorous and the very, very talented Issa.
Sponsor me, Dave's gone by, run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me.
Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511.
Sponsor me, if you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Junior.
not adjust your set. There's a rabbi on it, me, every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 20. I'm Rabbi Sol Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And my TV show will tell you everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism, but were too staggeringly ignorant to ask. Shalom Dammit, 7:30 Wednesday morning on Channel 20 or anytime on YouTube.com. Your prostate will thank you.
And we thank our prostates. Ladies and gentlemen, here on Dave's Gone By, it is 12:04 a.m., time for us to start boogieing out of here so we can get to gospel all night on WGBB Freeport. But before we go, gotta thank our sponsors, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Find out more at performingartsinsider.com about how you can get a special discount on your annual subscription to Performing Arts Insider. Also, Hewlett Minuteman Press, 10% off on all jobs, big or small, at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett for Hewlett Minuteman Press. Every copy job you can possibly imagine. Jeff, you want to do mortgagesrock.com?
Yes. Mortgagesrock.com, where you can become your own mortgage broker and earn lots and lots of money.
That's right. And fancy schmancy balloons.
Who will decorate your party, your any function, for a low to nominal fee.
That's right. And remember, everybody, Wednesday morning, 7:30, Channel 20 on Cablevision of Woodbury. Shalom, damn it. Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. Don't miss it. New episodes coming immediately, actually, starting this week.
How about Wednesday morning? Isn't there...
That's Wednesday morning. And then Friday mornings, it's Dave's Gone By on TV. Same channel, Channel 20. We don't have new episodes for that yet, but we're working on it. We'll get some to you. Please, if you want to contact this program, give us an email at davesgoneby@aol.com.
Send heat.
That's right. It's getting a little chilly in here, ladies and gentlemen, because of the weather out there. And also, check our website at davesgoneby.org. Got to do a couple of quick shout-outs and things like that. Want to tell everybody to watch a program called The Jews of New York. And it's been airing on Channel 21, WLIW. It's already had its first airing, but it's airing Friday, February 1st at 10 p.m., and they're also repeating it February 1st at 5. Actually, you see it on 5 on Channel 13 on February 1st, and then at 10 o'clock if you miss it on WLIW. Why? Because our upcoming guest, the one and only Broadway lyricist Sheldon Harnick, is on that program. So Sheldon Harnick, co-author of Fiddler on the Roof, co-author of She Loves Me, Fiorello, he's going to be on Dave's Gone By in a week or two. And anyway, he's part of this production, so catch it on WLIW this week. Congratulations to Marilyn May, who is receiving Backstage's Bob Harrington Lifetime Achievement Award. She was on our show a couple of months ago, and she's getting that April 7th as part of the Bistro Awards at the Gotham Comedy Club. And also, I want to tell everybody, Michael Lydon and Ellen Mandel are going to be at the Cornelius Street Cafe in Greenwich Village on Tuesday, January 22nd, a couple of days from now. And one of their special guests on that show is Steve the Whistler Herbst. It's sort of old home week of Dave's Gone By people. Anyway, what else? Listen to Filler Up Saturday nights at 5 on WGBB AM 1240. That's where I play a bunch of music that I want to play. Listen to 25 older shows of Dave's Gone By anytime by going to davesgoneby.org. Big, big thank yous to Carla at Fleming Artists for Thank you, Carla, for setting up the Issa interview. Thank you again to Issa for being so interesting and unique and fun and delightful, and come
She's
back.
She's just a little chatty Cathy, isn't she?
In her way, and I don't know. It's fun picking her brain and having her pick mine. And anyway, want to give love to my beloved wife Joyce.
Congratulations on the pregnancy.
And she says congratulations. She heard you're getting married, Jeff.
Yeah.
Are you really? Yeah.
Yes.
What's his name? No, I kid. Anywho, and also to Joyce's mom, who's visiting you this weekend and looking after our dogs with us.
Aww.
So hey to Joyce and her dad too, but her mom, who's listening and who stayed up to listen to hear her name on the air. So hi, Joyce's mom.
What's her name? What's her first name?
I knew you would do that. Rosemary.
Rosemary, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. And make sure your daughter's not pregnant by any means.
Well, and certainly not by anybody else but me. But anyway,
Ooh,
no. But anyway,
I haven't been by the house in weeks.
We got to get out of here. But anyway, stay tuned. Also, keep listening to Dave's Gone By every week. As I said, Sheldon Harnick coming up in the weeks ahead. Also, looking to get sports writer Phil Mushnick on here. I've been dying to talk to him for ages, and I think that's going to happen. We
Mr.
will be back.
Mushnick's going to be here.
Mr. Mushnick with no plan, just Mr. Mushnick. We'll be back next Sunday, January 27th, 2008, with the 257th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Issa Solemnis.
Congratulations to the Giants. And gone by.
Then it's how long and how far and how many times.